about what that would all represent, as far as, you know, supporting a piece of ladder line anywhere near a mast is a nightmare. So I would have to give that grave concern before doing that. But since the bands at issue for this are 80 and 40, maybe 30, no big deal. As you said, the higher bands may be a wasteland because of SWR issues. But, yeah, okay. Good. So it depends on what your expectations are for the antenna. If you're just trying to basically find a sweet spot to deal with physical geometry issues where you can't put up a center-fed dipole and have it look sensible, then OCF antennas are fine on 80 and 40, and they just don't expect them to have that broadband characteristic if you're feeding with coax. One other question, feed it with 1-to-1 at the feed point or 4-to-1?
If you start getting a very low impedance, then the 4-to-1 is not going to really work very well. And remember, the 4-to-1 is most of the time is a voltage balun, and you don't want to use a voltage balun there. If you have a 1-to-1, yeah, go ahead. If you don't if you have a 4-to-1 that's a current balun, yeah, you can. If you have a 1-to-1, it'll work just as well. The antenna tuner will just tune at a slightly different spot.
8280C with a question.
Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, Jim, regarding the coax, okay, I was explaining that I got about 130-foot run, and you had a concern that I was going to have a very high loss. It was running Belden 9913, and I guess according to the specs, it's like 1 dB per 100 foot at 100 megahertz. And it seems to go down as you go down in frequency. Would the concern be like a common mode current coming back?
No, but what you realize, you don't realize, that spec is at a perfect match, a 1-to-1 match, okay? And yes, that is good coax, and yes, you can run, you know, some good power and probably not see much loss. But take a look in the handbook and take a look at what I'm talking about, that chart that's in the antenna book and in the handbook where it talks about additional loss due to SWR. That's the clue, okay? It's quite possible to have something that has a tenth of a dB loss for, you know, 100 foot. But then when you start looking at the additional loss with a 10-to-1 SWR, now it does not become an attractive thing to do. But, if you could, it would be a nice way to run your antenna would be to just feed it with twin lead, bring it all the way back. If you can, I don't know if you can do that, and bring it back to the window, and then convert it there with a 101 balun and make it work. I know it'll work. I've done it.
Yeah, you just got to keep the open wire line or the twin lead away from the building.
Yeah, that's a copy. Unfortunately, it goes through about 90 feet of conduit that I have buried underground. So I'm going to hope for the best.
Then don't do it.
Yeah, 90 feet of conduit. Yeah, coax will be fine. What you may end up having to do is build yourself a different antenna for the higher bands. I mean, and that's not the end of the world either. You get something that's more squared away for those frequencies. You run out of a piece of coax, you know, another couple of dipoles or some sort of other, you know, single band or multi-band antenna, and away you go. You'll be fine. That's pretty exciting. I'm trying to think now. For anybody else, let's see. Anybody else have any comments on this topic?
WE2R.
WE2CAI. What time is it, guys?
It's 7 after 10, and good evening, Tom. I'll add you to the roster. Good, Charlie.
Now, on the question of coax versus twin lead, I've read in the past references to using coax, kind of doubling it up, taking two pieces of coax and using it as twin lead, and with the center conductors being the conductors of interest, and the shield just grounded at one end. And then you wouldn't have to worry about it rubbing up against anything. Does anybody know anything about that?
Mr. Jim, is basically constructed shielded twin lead, is that, you know, I've seen various thoughts on that subject that are not necessarily all harmonious with each other.
This is K2ZO.
Ed?
Okay, where I had a balanced antenna tuner in a shack, for instance, my Johnson kilowatt matchbox, and I didn't want to have any radiation from the feed line getting into the audio or the computer or anything like that. What I did is I constructed a feed line with two pieces of coax. Actually, I had two pieces of 100-ohm coax, of 50-ohm coax, and made a 100-ohm feed line. At the feed point down on the antenna tuner, I grounded the shields, fed the two center conductors, and then that went outside the window to the two center conductors there, which went to the open wire line. And, of course, I left the shields floating out there, but now I had shielded 100-ohm feed line. However, you still could have an SWR on that, and it could still be lossy. But what's nice about that is that it allowed you to have a balance all the way through and all the way out, rather than, in that case, I did not use a balun or anything like that. I had a true balanced antenna to it.
All right, thanks. I've always been intrigued after having read that, and I thought that would be a good use for old coax also. All righty, WE2R.
Jim, would you recommend that for Ed's 90-foot conduit run, plus plus?
Well, you still have the problem of SWR and coax. Just splitting it between the two pieces of coax doesn't make it better.
But haven't you basically made a constructed balance line?
Yes, but if you think about it, you're going to have a balance line with a high SWR on it.
All right, but if you get an antenna that's relatively resonant at the far end of that thing, would it not be better?
If the impedance at the input of that thing was 100 ohms, then it would be fine. But the chances are it's not going to be.
Okay, so let's see. Last I recalled, 100 ohm impedance into a 50 ohm radio is a 2-to-1 SWR, so the tuner could potentially solve that. So if you had a 1-to-1 balun at the feed point of the radio, and you came out of your balun right on the back of the radio and into your little coax gizmachi, you could potentially, I mean, you wouldn't have to have a balanced tuner at that point. You probably could get away with it, and it would balance the whole system all the way out, would it not?
Well, that's debatable. yeah, chances are, yes, at some frequencies it would work okay. Others, you might be have a mismatch. But, yes, the idea works good, except that you've got to be thinking about the balance. In my case, I have one tuner that's modified in which I have the balun on the input, so I don't care. And all of the components in the tuner float. It's a T-type tuner, but instead of going to ground, the one side goes to one side of the feed line and the other side goes to the other, like the ARRL book. And that one works. You saw that one work on field day.
Well, I've seen it work on field day briefly, but yes. I believe you either brought pictures or brought it to a Barra meeting once.
Yes, I brought the two antenna tuners, one modified and one not modified, and I opened them up.
And they were quite the interesting toy. All right. Since I raised the question on behalf of Ed, let me see if Ed has any follow-on.
Yeah, I guess KD280 sheaf identification. I guess I was under the impression that that's what the 4-to-1 Balun does, is it's going to transform the 200 ohms into the 50 ohm load so that I wouldn't be seeing any high impedance to the SWR.
Well, that's true if you've got a non-reactive load going into it, and that's, you know, going to be at only a few certain frequencies. I don't know what you're intending to do. Are you going to try to use this antenna for a lot of other frequencies? What you're going to find is that, you know, if you try it on other frequency, it's not so good. The answer is it'll probably work. The thing is you have to think about what you're doing and where you're losing, you know, energy.
Okay, I know it won't work on certain frequencies like 12 meters, and I think it's 17 meters, because then the dipole starts to become one wavelength or a multiple of one wavelength at that point. So I believe that according to the spec, should be good for 80, 40, 20, and 10.
How would it be for 60 and 30? Oh, that's the advantage of the open wire line. You, at some bands, you can have a very high impedance, but you don't care. Very high SWR, I should say. But you don't really care because it's low loss line. That 40-meter antenna that I feed off-center will work on every band, tune up on every band except 160.
And it tunes up on 80 because it uses the open wire line as part of the antenna?
No, it tunes up on 80 because it's using the feed line as a matching section. The antenna, well, it might be radiating somewhat, but it works fine. And on 80 meters, if I talk to you with where we are and switch from one to the other, you would not even hear the difference.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that's good to know. Very good. Well, this is interesting. But every month or so, we have to beat this horse a little bit, and we refine our views and get it a little more square. Anybody else for comments on this?
Thank you, JK.
Mr. Don.
Yeah, in the kind of handbook there that I read, I forget the guy's name that wrote it, one of the from RCA, he says you take a 66-foot antenna, let's say a 40-meter antenna, and put 80 meters into signal into it. You'll radiate 95% of that signal using open wire lines. So, yeah, that'll work fine. And I guess, really, any mismatch, doesn't matter because you are using the open wire line. It's when you start using the coax that you have the problems. I in my case here, I have a different arrangement. I have an end fed wire. I don't have a coax that's involved with it at all. Anyway, with that fact in that, W2JK.
Yeah, I just find that operating on 80, it just doesn't quite work out quite as well as I'd like. But I have a trap dipole that works pretty well on 80 and 40. That it's okay, but I would like to try this OCF thing, and struggling to figure out how to put together a feed point that will allow me to get something nominally resembling a full wavelength, you know, full length antenna, not compromised. And I think Tim answered my question before that, you know, because of the long dimension in one direction, the short dimension in the other, I might be able to pull it off. But I'll have to, because of the interesting geometry of my lot. But one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to scoot down my mast and affix a thrust bearing to it upside down, you know, the standard TB2, you know, thrust bearing. I'll grease it up real well, and that will give me something to which I can attach a mast that will be locked into place
directionally through with a guy line that will clear the the Yagis that are below it on the mast, but also allow wires to be attached to an endpoint, so that as the mast spins, the antennas underneath it will spin, but the wire antenna will have a stabilized attachment point on the mast. So I've described that a little bit before, but that's basically the plan here for the springtime. And I'm all ready to go with all the pieces. But since my mast is 60-odd feet in the air, where I can attach the wires, the wire antenna, the OCF center point, it will allow me to have enough of a distance to run a full-size 80-meter OCF. So I'll be able to run, 90 feet in one direction and 50 feet in the short direction as an inverted V, and all will be good. It will be kind of neat, actually. Any comments? HT, if they can commit to coming there, we can provide them with radios. That's not a problem. All right, well, that's nice. Thank everybody for their great questions. We got some new hams who seem to be pretty cool, so I want to thank everybody for their participation, and thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater. Just FYI, their annual dinner is February 12th, as is the BCFMA annual meeting, so either way, you can attend one or both and support either or both repeaters one way or another. So thanks again, and have a good evening. This is W2TTT.
Where's the dinner?
K2ZO, W2JK.
WCJEK, K2ZO.
Yeah, Jim, did you see the antenna tuner article in this latest QST and the parts he used?
Yeah, the old link couple, the old version of them. Yeah, I think I put one of those a while ago.
Yeah, it's good if you have an old, beat-up kilowatt matchbox, because that's what he cannibalized to make the thing. Just thinking, there goes the price of matchboxes, the kilowatt version anyway.
As a matter of fact, I think I do have a cannibalized kilowatt Johnson matchbox in the garage. And, yeah, that's nice if you've got open wire all the way out and through. By the way, I was over at school today. They still didn't, get the paperwork out to me, so don't worry about it, because I reminded them, and I reminded the custodians about the room being open, and he said no problem. So just in case when you get over there, just find him and just make sure he gets the room open. But he knows you're coming. They've just been slow in getting the stuff out, and the reason is that they're apparently having a meeting, and they're going to change the rates at which they charge us. So they were kind of waiting on all those permits to see if people, might have any adverse reaction. I told them it didn't care what they charged us, because it's far less than anything we've ever paid before.
Okay, Jim, very good. The only thing I was sweating out was the weather, but I think that storm's not going to hit until after the test session is well over. Well, maybe around midnight Friday, tomorrow night, that the big storm's going to hit. But that was my main concern. Real pain in the neck when you're taking walk-ins. I have people with emails that I've had about three emails about this session, but I don't know. They don't have a phone number on any of them. I don't think that I could say, hey, it's called off, because of the school. But so far, it looks like the weather looks good. I was looking at that article in QSD, and I guess you know, I guess there are other ways to get capacitors like that without taking apart a good matchbox. Either that or restore the matchbox to the other way, to the way it was originally, if that's possible too. I think they usually try to have something where the parts are more or less readily available. But, nowadays you got to go to a ham fest and hope you can find something. Back to you, W2JK.
W2JK.
Okay, go ahead.
Jim, do they really charge us to use the facilities over there?
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
Well, offline one day, I'll ask you what they charge us. I'm curious what my local high school charges us for things. It's kind of amazing. I mean, I know why they have to do it, but sometimes you get puzzled over that.
Well, they're a lot less costly, let's say, to run the ham fest than Fairleigh Dickinson was. But Fairleigh Dickinson, by the time we did everything that they required, with permits and porta potties and dumpsters, we'd spent like $1,200 before we even started up.
Don't I remember? And none of that, but I don't know if you knew, but way back in the early 90s, I ran an ARRL computer networking conference at Fairleigh, and that whole dance was quite an adventure in cost and expense. And Ajita, just figuring it all out.
Yeah, they used to nickel and dime us to death. The high school here is very reasonable.
Jim, could you sign me out, please?
Okay, Tom, you're signed out. WA2CAI, K2ZO.
Thank you, James.
This is W2JEK. I'm going to pull the switch here, guys. So 73s, and catch you somewhere down the line. W2JEK. Good night.
Good night.
Okay, 73 done.
73 done. Very good. Yeah, well, I would imagine that the school does very, very well. I'm wondering what we could do for the school in the way of a program that would, should we say, redeem our annual needs with respect to the school. You know, some sort of activity program for the students that we could run. Maybe like Ham Radio University, but just for the students.
I don't know.
I'm wondering, you know, maybe offline we'll discuss what the costs are, but maybe it would be good PR too if we could run some sort of ham radio university for the totally unwashed ham, you know. Start with a Friday night thing, a little Saturday dance, do everything from having, you know, Gordon West-like activities to a ham fest or maybe not a ham fest. We can do both. Maybe we could have forums, things like that, so as kids and their families got licensed, they'd be able to continue on with keeping coming back every year or something. And maybe, I mean, you know, I think if I'm thinking about it, the ideal environment to do it in is the weekend of the auction, because we could do a Friday night intro to ham radio thing, and then Saturday would be the guts of the course, terminating in a Saturday night test session. But if we get some of the course material done, we don't have to be quite as OZ about it during Saturday. We could have time for other sessions for people to engage in addition to getting their licenses. I'm just thinking out loud here with my mouth running.
B2JEK, they have a scholarship that we give.
I understand that, and that's very nice, but that's not reducing our bill.
I'm saying we should put on an educational program for them that would be open up primarily for the communities of Westwood and Washington Township and others by prior registration, and we go from there. Jim?
We did this once before at a Hampfest, and we got very little interest running those classes there. We spent a lot of money renting them from Fairley, and it didn't amount to much. People came to the Hampfest to go to the Hampfest. They didn't want to come to the Hampfest and get educated.
Okay. Very good. And bringing up the school community, pilot it, we would just provide the expertise. But I'm not looking to have us spend any money. If anything, end up with a quid pro quo for our yearly expense with the high school, but as well as a bunch of new hams. But anyway, all right, Mr. Jim, thank you very much. I think we'll go into the ether here tonight. So you take care and Godspeed. K2ZO. W2TTT.
KW2TTT. K2ZO.
Yes, Richard.
I've been listening on a repeater, and every now and then it just disappears and then comes back, and I've been sitting in the same spot.
The repeater disappears?
Totally done.
Must be something local to you, Rich. Your repeater's been strung all night here. I've been all over.
Connected W2PSE.
2, PNE, disconnected. Connected, W2PNE. W2PNE, disconnected.
W2FDB mobile listening.
KD2BKC mobile listening.
KC2OII, welcome.